Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You're listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, a show where we discuss trends, marketing, pop culture, and the power of audio, because at the end of the day, everything is an ad. I'm Rebecca Stewart, Adweek's Europe Brand Editor, and as always, I'm joined by the fabulous Liz Corona, Adweek's Community Editor. How's things, Liz?
Things are great, Bex. How are things with you?
Really good. The sun is starting to come out in the UK. The nights are getting a bit lighter. So yeah, just feels good.
Same here. I feel like that's why we're all like smiling today. So yeah, I hear you.
We have lots of energy today. And today's episode is actually a little meta because it's all about the power of audio. And of course, the Yeah, That's Probably an Ad team absolutely love a podcast and a radio show over here. And we're speaking to Gail Troberman, who is CMO at iHeartMedia. Gail oversees over 800 radio stations, and she had some absolutely fascinating insights about what Americans really listen to and care about versus what we in our little marketing bubble care about. Clue, no one else watches Succession, apparently, which I was shocked
about. It's crazy. I was shocked. This one's going to be a good one.
I'm shooketh. But before we dive into that, we have a few reminders for you guys. The first one is that nominations are open for our annual Creative 100 hot list. We want to hear who should feature on the rankings, which celebrate innovators, agency leaders, influencers, and creators. So make sure you nominate someone else or yourself over on adweek.com.
Yes, and a reminder that we will be hosting Social Media Week in April in New York. Our first speakers have been announced, and I was so happy to see some familiar faces on the lineup. I'm personally excited about seeing our friend John J.P. Petty from Wieden & Kennedy, who we did an episode with earlier last year, and then Jade Powell, content marketer and creator, who I've only really seen from afar on LinkedIn and the other social platforms, so this one's going to be a good one. I'm excited, Bex.
Yeah, that's going to be such a good event, and we love JP. So yeah, can't wait to read all about it. I won't be there, but yeah, I'm excited. And without further ado, let's jump into our chat with Gail. So welcome, Gail. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How about yourself?
Yeah, really good. So glad to have you here. I think you've got such an interesting background, and this is going to be a fun episode. And before we dive into what you do now, I think it would be interesting to give our listeners a bit of background on you. Because first of all, you seem to buck the CMO trend. You've been at iHeart since 2014. And the average tenure of a CMO is something like 2 years. So you've definitely outlasted that trend. But you've been in the industry for 3 decades, and you spent 16 years at Microsoft, including as their very first chief creative officer. So could you just talk us through your kind of career journey so far and what led you to iHeart?
Sure. I've been really lucky in my career. I've met just awesome people trying to figure out what's new and next at different moments in my career. And that's how I landed at Microsoft, heading up some internet startups when none of us even knew what those words meant. And I'd barely been on the internet and had zero right to be doing it. But there were a bunch of crazy smart people who had a lot of passion and resources and means. And we were figuring out our way through. You know, I'm old, so I always talk about the similarities between some of my career arcs at Microsoft and at iHeart. You know, at Microsoft, we were trying to convince marketers that the internet was a real thing, and they really needed to figure out how to reach their customers with online and digital advertising. And now it's remarkable, as long as audio has been around, I still spend a lot of my time being sort of an evangelist for all things audio. So career-wise, I've definitely just my philosophy is I always say I've kind of stumbled into amazing jobs by following awesome people who ask really big, hard questions. And then we go try to solve them. And Bob Pittman certainly fits that description.
Yeah. Love that. And that makes so much sense. Now I understand your career journey a little bit, Gail. So you joined iHeart in 2014. You've seen a lot of change in the audio market, obviously, and we've seen it too. But from your end, from the seat that you're sitting in, how has the audio market evolved, especially after COVID?
Sure. You know, COVID was fascinating for us at iHeart, you know, as we were all obviously scrambling as professionals and as humans and as managers to try to find our way through all the change. The one thing we realized at iHeart, and a lot of people don't know about iHeart Media, at iHeart Media, our corporate mission is to be a friend who's there anytime, anywhere. Particularly in this increasingly isolating digital world. Right now, you know, we are, while we're talking here, we are live and unscripted with real people on 860 broadcast radio stations, thousands of podcasts in 150 US cities, right? And so our product by nature is its companionship. It's human connection, right? Everyone says, or everyone believes, I have this conversation all the time. People believe that people tune into iHeart or listen to The Breakfast Club or The Elvis Duran Show or Bobby Bones or Ryan Seacrest. And people believe people, you know, and even as consumers, I think we like to think, oh, I tune in for the music. But the reality is our biggest radio shows play about 3 or 4 songs an hour. So what you're actually tuning in for that became increasingly important during COVID is human connection and companionship, right? You show up to the Elvis Duran show, you pop in during your commute, you know the people, you know the cast, you know their quirks, you know their preferences, and they talk in human open ways like friends. They talk about that the dog threw up on the kitchen floor and I was late for work and my kids didn't do their homework, and like they're living the same lives we are. And they're sharing them in these open, honest ways. And so when COVID hit, you know, first scramble was obviously, can we broadcast from everyone's closets and bedrooms and dens and kitchens? And so we got all the technology set up right away. So all our shows and our hosts could continue to broadcast live every day. And then we realized as more people were not commuting, people's hours changed. People weren't getting up as early. And so, you know, consumers right away, our listening went up exponentially on every device you could access other than the car. So everyone who listened, you know, I wake up and I ground myself in what's going on in the world and with humans that I trust. I wanted to have that conversation. I wanted to hear what Elvis Duran was going through or Bobby Bones. And I really needed that human connection and I wanted it. But now I was getting it via my laptop, my phone, my Xbox, my Alexa. And we make a point of making sure that iHeart and the iHeartRadio app is available on pretty much any digital device you've ever heard of. So we are on thousands and thousands of devices to make our product as accessible as possible. But what we realized quickly was we needed to add another hour to every morning show. because a lot of people were missing the shows as you slept in a little if you didn't have to commute. And we got those requests right away. But we saw exponential growth in in-home listening. So we were replacing in-car listening with a lot more in-home listening. And we realized the role we play is so pivotal in a moment where people are scared and confused and the rules are changing. We do sentiment research with all our listeners every week to help all our shows in different geographies and different formats, hip-hop or country or pop, and to understand what listeners want. And it's super interesting being a big national media company with a massive local footprint all over America. Because what you see, you know, and what we learned really quickly during COVID is, you know, in some markets, you couldn't talk enough about how to wash your hands properly. And in other markets, it was like, stop talking about how to wash my hands. I just want to hear some music and I want to escape from all the scariness. And it really is different by format, by show, by market. And so in COVID, we played this massively important role to all the communities we serve. And those communities are cities and geographies, but those communities are also a tribe of Breakfast Club fans, and helping them find their way through it with truth and honesty and hard questions and provocative conversations. And the same is true for country fans and all of our podcast tribes. So it was a really fascinating time for us at iHeart. I think it made our product better. And I think it got all of us a lot more in touch with that real consumer in the real world, in real America. And I think we do a better job even now across all our shows being vulnerable and human and open.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then, you know, you mentioned it there, but audio has this like amazing power to build an emotional connection with an audience. And, you know, as you said, it can feel like you're listening to friends when you're listening to a show. And clearly, during and post-COVID, iHeart has tailored its content based on these audience deep kind of audience insights and that audience relationship. But you mentioned that you oversee something like over 800 brands, as it was, or radio stations. So my question, you know, as a marketer, is like, how do you steward those brands and make sure you're leveraging that content to speak to the audience, but as a brand?
Yeah, it's a terrific question. It's one, you know, we were actually talking a lot about today. You know, I think for advertisers, you know, we always say we reach 9 out of 10 consumers just on broadcast radio at iHeart. Nielsen data, not iHeart data. So, I mean, we have this massive reach to any audience, right, for a brand. If you want to reach moms or homeowners or, you know, hip hop fans or, you know, people looking for a mortgage or whatever your audience, we have them at scale. What we've realized is really important to our advertisers is making it easy for them to look across all our different franchises and brands and properties and podcasts to broadcast to events and make it easier for them to find that audience they care about. And be able to communicate with that audience. And that should be platform agnostic, right? If you want to reach moms with kids under 8 in the household, it doesn't necessarily matter if you're reaching them on broadcast in the car, on podcasts, late night at home, or anywhere in between. You know, there's certain brands and certain campaigns where timeliness matters and situation matters. But the first thing we've done is we like to think of ourselves from a marketer standpoint as an access company, not a media company. Because really, at the end of the day, our unique value prop is we're delivering access to audiences, all of them at scale, right? We're delivering access to conversations, because that's what most of our shows are all about, that human conversation. And we're delivering that with more attention. We have higher attention scores than any digital or social platform, with more trust, because the relationship between our listeners and their show, their hosts, their cast, their favorite podcast hosts has exponentially higher trust than any social media influencer or TV personalities. And so we're delivering that access to that audience with this high engagement, high attention, high trust. And we need to make that accessible in ways that are really meaningful. and easy to measure and easy to understand the value proposition for. So that's a big part of what we try to do, is we try to approach all our customers with how can we solve your problem, find your audience, and then give you access to all the tools, the data, the measurement solutions that you need to maximize your conversation with that audience.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, "The more MQLs, the better," over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
So true. So you're bringing me back, Gail, to my ad agency days when podcasting first started showing up on like the decks going around and everyone was like, how do you even measure this? You know, so it's so like refreshing to see how far it's come. Now, iHeart CEO Bob Pittman described 2024 as a recovery year for the audio industry. So how will that translate into marketing for iHeart's brands? And can you tell us a little bit about like by what he meant?
Sure, sure. We all very much hope Bob is right, and he usually is. So there's a safe bet there. By a recovery year, I think we mean, you know, we all lived through COVID where, you know, brands had to pull back a lot of investment. You know, marketers had to really rethink their marketing. Consumer behaviors obviously changed immediately. And I think they still haven't gone back to an old. I think we have sort of a new normal in consumer behaviors. And so, you know, we really think for media companies and media stocks, we think this is going to be a recovery year. Certainly brands have still been spending. They've been spending in audio. But we really see this as a, you know, I think a full back to normal consumer behavior patterns, back to what one of the things we're seeing is audio consumption has been, it's massive and it's been growing exponentially with podcasts as a big catalyzing force, and the easy access to streaming music, streaming content, and digital. We also see broadcast, again, continue to reach 9 out of 10 Americans. So we think as the economy, hopefully, gets a little more stable, you know, it feels like we've been living in a world where just when it feels like things are about to stabilize, some world events or macroeconomic things happen with, you know, wars and climate issues and things beyond our control. And there's always been that, there's been sort of this, we're back, yes, full spend, and then world events, things change, and marketers have been cautious. So we're hoping this is a year where marketers are going to get back to more predictable investing, and also I'd say more predictable planning. I think we've, as marketers, had to learn to keep pivoting and keep reacting. And that's made it, I think, a lot harder on you know, brands and small businesses equally, and having to kind of keep adjusting and keep reacting. But what we love is the audience is there. Consumers today, latest WARC research shows consumers spend about a third of their media time with audio. And the average brand only spends about 9% of their media budget with audio. So we call that today the audio gap. I would hope in a recovery year where marketers are looking at all their options and really getting to their new normal plans. We're seeing a lot of brands are realizing that audio gap is big opportunity, right? Audio is about a tenth the production costs. It's faster and more agile. You can version to death. So I can create more and more creative and content for every, you know, I can sound different on a country station than a hip hop station, than a pop station, than a K-pop show, and on and on. And so I can be more relevant with audio. I can be more adaptable with audio. And we're seeing audios delivering, like we said, that higher attention, which is resulting in, I think, two big wins for brands that are getting serious about audio in this new sort of new, you know, I think a lot of brands threw away their old playbooks and they're building new ones. And we're seeing a lot of our customers really make audio a foundational channel, you know, sort of an always on through the year platform, because it's so efficient, it's got scale, and it really performs well. And the other thing we see a lot is, our clients get into, they'll come to us. A lot of clients will be like, I got to get into podcasting. Oh my God, it's the new hot thing. I'm listening to a ton. My kids are listening. My parents are listening. Like podcast is, they're everywhere. What do I do? And we'll start with a one-to-one podcast campaign and we'll quickly explain, well, hey, you're trying to reach business decision makers. You know, you can reach them on broadcast with more efficiency and more scale. And so we're seeing a lot of our customers quickly. We've seen a lot of our broadcast customers move to podcasting. And now we're seeing a lot of our podcast only brands are moving to the efficiency and scale that they can get with broadcast. And the thing, most brands, when they haven't been spending in audio or spending big and they get serious about audio as a foundational element of their media mix, the first thing they come to us and say is, oh my God, incremental growth. And I'm like, that's true, right? Because I think what's happened unintentionally as we've moved to a lot of one-to-one digital targeting, we're buying a lot of the same people in different places, right? I'm reaching the same cohort of moms and I'm reaching them on TikTok and then I'm reaching them on Meta and I'm reaching them in Google. And you've kind of got this overlapped audience. And so, you know, you're getting frequency and maybe it's working, but you're probably overspending for a lot of the same people. And then you go to the scale of something like broadcast radio and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I got not just more moms, but moms I was missing and I got their kids. And their kids influence the moms, right? Yeah. You ever go shopping with kids, right? Oh my God, yeah, mom, yeah. You can't wear that. Wait, why would you buy that fridge? This fridge is way cooler, right? And it's just amazing. So you start reaching like beyond, I think one-to-one targeting has limited us a little bit more than we realize, particularly if you're a pretty mass market brand. So that's a huge win we're seeing with brands as they move back to audio or they move from podcast and digital to broadcast audio. They're really finding incremental reach, and that's a huge win for most brands.
That's so interesting that brands are, you know, investing in like both broadcast and podcast, because at the end of last year, iHeart opened Ruby, which is like a branded podcast studio, and some of the founding clients were QuickBooks and IBM, I think. I'm just curious like how that works, because sometimes when a brand is, you know, working on a podcast, it can be hard to push them out of their comfort zone a bit. So what kind of challenges do you come up against there, and how do you help brands like stand out?
Sure. Ruby is an amazing secret weapon that a lot of our brands use to develop their own branded podcast, right? And the beauty of having your own podcast is you have your own footprint. It's a place where consumers can find an episode. You know, we're doing a great podcast right now with Intel called Technically Speaking, and it's a lot about what you'd expect, the endless conversation on AI. And it's a perfect example where I might listen to every episode. I might have discovered it when it launched a few months ago. But I might be a business decision maker getting serious about my investments in AI in 6 months from now. And that branded podcast will exist, right? And then what's also great is we can then do what we call podcast to broadcast campaigns, where instead of Intel having to go make ads about their AI offerings, we can take content out of every episode from the podcast that's fresh and interesting and unscripted and where the meat of a debate happens between two really smart humans. And we can take that quote or that conversation or parts of it and turn that into radio ads. And now I can go put our podcast and radio ads. Now I can go do a targeted campaign to reach business or IT decision makers for Intel with this amazing fresh content engine fueling all of that scaled advertising. So the you know, convincing brands, the Ruby Studio at iHeart's been phenomenal. You know, they've done, you know, probably about 100 branded podcasts with various brands in different categories. And a lot of those brands come to us and go, this is perfect because it became a footprint for us, an audio footprint. Our employees listen, right? Our whole ecosystem of partners and influencers, everyone can go to this podcast and it becomes a real center point for other marketing and other campaigns that they're doing. So I love the branded podcasts. We've had no problem selling them. We probably have more demand than we have capacity for. And then because we have the promotional power of iHeart, a lot of these branded podcasts, like technically speaking, they chart. And they chart on iTunes and they chart on, you know, and you can, we distribute them anywhere you want to listen to podcasts. So you can build a really big audience. But I think the secret trick is having that owned footprint for people who are going to listen to 20, 30 minutes of your whole podcast, but then being able to turn it into short form and campaignize it and get real mm-hmm. scale for that same investment in content.
Yeah. So repurposing it. Yeah.
We love repurposing content. I like that. And I feel like we need to bring this up with our producer after.
Totally. Got to get a radio campaign and promote this podcast. Yes.
Now, Gail, you are so clear that you have such strong expertise here in the space. Like, you've got a pulse on kind of where the industry is and where it's going, where it's been. But I would imagine that you do research in your own time and listen in on shows. So I'm just so curious what, you know, what are some of your favorite shows? Like, if there were marketers out there who were curious about dipping into the space, is there like a podcast that you think, I know you can't pick your favorite child, but is there a podcast you think that kind of is like exemplary of strong content?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we have so many amazing podcasts and the beauty is we have, you know, true crime and sports and horror. We work with Bloomberg to Hello Sunshine, and everyone in between. We have, you know, Shondaland and all of their podcasts. We have, the Black Effect Podcast Network's amazing that we started with, Charlemagne the God, and we've given the mic to more than 30 amazing podcast creators, shows like All the Smoke that are massive hits and culture. Yeah. You know, I always say it's a little less about what I'm listening to and what I love. I'm a huge revisionist history fan. I love our Pushkin slate. Happiness Lab, I think, is a joyous reminder that everyone needs in their day, from Laurie Santos. We've got our Michael Tora network where we're partnered with Wilmer Valderrama, and we're giving the mic to a lot of Hispanic creators and launching a bunch of really cool new shows with that podcast slate. So it's, you know, the beauty of iHeart is it's kind of whatever you're into. We have people who are equally passionate about it and they're creating shows. And we have podcasts in and around all those topics. So, you know, it's fun. I was at CES with Wilmer Valderrama from NCIS and, you know, formerly That 70s Show. And we were talking about some research we did recently, we did in Q4. And you guys will probably find this fun. It's a study called The New American Consumer. Malcolm Gladwell and team helped us put the study together. And the premise was, despite having more data than we've ever had in the history of marketing, I argue marketers are more biased than they've ever been, at least in my lifetime in marketing. And now we can justify almost anything with data. So if we're making really biased decisions. And I think the challenge is a lot of marketers, 38% of consumers live in the South. And like more than half of marketers live in the Northeast. And we're really out of touch with that real American consumer, right? Most consumers never stopped commuting. marketers did, right? Marketers right. are five yes. times as likely to drive an EV as the average consumer, right? Right. Our and so we did this study, which was, we can send to you guys, it's super interesting, but it was, we did the exact same study of real Americans in real America and of marketers. And we looked at values and beliefs and habits, and there's all these amazing things that we learned from it. I mean, you know, we asked people, like about a bunch of things, you know, have you heard of this? Have you not? And 40% of consumers have still never heard of an NFT. 60% of consumers as of last fall had never heard of the show Succession. Right. And what? When I present to marketers, see, you did exactly what marketers do. In marketing right. land, we think it's the biggest show in the history of shows. But when yes. I was presenting with Wilmer, he made it clear, like, you know, 10 million people watch every episode of NCIS Live. And it's been right. on the air for 23 years. Right. And yeah. so there's all these human biases. We asked consumers what, you know, I think for marketers, we tend to get too far ahead sometimes and chase shiny and new. The other one was half of consumers have never heard of an Aperol spritz, which also blows marketers' minds.
Oh, my God. Right? That I is know, major. Right?
We don't. It's beautiful. We live in marketing land, and it's a lovely bubble, but it is not mm-hmm. where our growth is. If we just keep talking to us, we're going to miss. And I think we fall behind the consumer sometimes, and sometimes we're way too far ahead. And we have to keep remembering to calibrate with our real customers in real life, because maybe we're not the target, right? And mm-hmm. that's what the study said. The podcasting, we asked people what habit they would be least likely to give up. And number one with everyone was snacking. So marketers and podcasters both love our snacks.
I was going to say it has to do with food.
Yep, totally. Yep. Number two, for real Americans, real consumers, they didn't want to give up podcasting, right? And that's why the growth is where it is. It's the fastest growing medium in the history of media. But number two for marketers, they didn't want to give up online shopping, right? And it says everything. Our income is different. Our lifestyles are different. Consumers are motivated, twice as likely to be motivated by their family and their friends. And marketers are three times as likely to be motivated by fear, fame, and fortune. We just see the world differently, right?
Yes,
and that's why broadcast radio is still so big and so relevant. Because the people on air in Detroit or Tulsa or Miami live there. And they're talking to people who live there. And they're going through the same issues and challenges. And they're both passionate about a certain type of music or sports. And so there's this shared commonality that iHeartRadio broadcast shows have with listeners. And I think marketers, increasingly, we've got to break out of our bubble and we've got to get right with real America. And if you do, it's going to lead you to bigger audio investments, because the listening's there, the attention's there, and it works.
Yeah. You know, Gail, you're not the first person who has kind of pointed this out to, you know, and I just feel like it's something that's so overlooked, that us marketers, like, we're in like our own little world, and how could you not watch Succession? Like, what rock do you live under, you know, and things like that. But you're right. Like, you know, who better than the personalities who are on air living in those, you know, exact like demographics that we want to reach.
And it was a phenomenal show, but it's also, you know, behind a paywall too for a while. So, you know, it's, you know, we forget, you know, different realities for lots of different consumers. So, I love the marketer bubble. I have no desire to leave it, but I think if we're going to find growth, we have to get back into the real world and find people who aren't us.
Yeah, I love that. Man, you blew my mind today. I'm going to be thinking about this for a while. Well, that's all the time we have cool. for today, Gail. But thank you so much. This has been so great. Be sure to send us that report, and so we can link it in the write-up or for the episode.
Perfect. Thank you, guys. This was fun. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you for listening to Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by me, Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Ahrens and John Heil, and edited by Lane McGivney at Boutwell Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all of Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show, send us an email at podcast@adweek.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.